We've been on a series for a number of weeks now, and I think we're nearing the end of this series. Not that we've covered everything, but, there comes a time to switch gears. But we call this series Free from Sin. Free from Sin. And if you haven't been with us, I think this is our 14th message on it. And if you go online, all of them are there at no charge, and you can catch up with us. And this is a very, very important subject. Sin is why Jesus had to come to the cross. And the scripture said it's fools that make light and make a mockery of sin. And we don't treat the subject lightly. But the good news is, because of what Jesus has done, we're free. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Free from sin. In Romans, if you'd look at the 6th chapter, Romans 6, you believing with me today? Yes. Romans 6 and 1, he said, "What shall we say then?" Because he had been talking about grace. Grace as a different from the law. "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" Or you could say, since we're not under the law, since we're under grace, can we just forget about sin? And it doesn't matter anyway because it's already been taken care of. What's the next verse? God forbid. "How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein in sin?" So whether you understand it or not, whether it looks or feels like it or not, agree with the Word, agree with God, and affirm, I am dead to sin. Come on here, you say it out loud. One more time, real good. I am
dead to sin.
Who is dead to sin?
I am
dead to sin.
Dead to sin. Now that's different from, I got a lot of problems with sin and I can't get free from sin. I said, regardless of what it might look like or feel like, agree with God.
Amen.
Say what He said. What did He say?
I'm dead to sin.
Verse 6, he said, "Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So say it out loud, I don't serve sin.
I don't serve sin.
I serve God.
I serve God.
I don't serve sin.
I don't serve sin.
Verse 7, he says it again, "For he that is dead is free from sin." Now what he's saying, he's talking about our identification with Christ, and I don't care how long you've been walking with God, how much you think you know this, you don't know as much as you can know and should know about this. I was crucified with Christ. I died with Him. I was buried with Him. And I've been raised to newness of life with Him. And I am sat down with Him at the right hand of majesty on high. This is the gospel. And it hasn't been preached widely. What has been preached is sin consciousness. We're just old sinners. Saved by grace. No, you were an old sinner. Now you've been saved by grace. And you're not just an old sinner, you're dead to sin. Do you see what a difference that is? I mean, that is a huge difference. No. Said out loud, I was crucified.
I was crucified.
With Him.
With Him.
I died.
And was buried.
With Christ.
With Christ.
I've been raised. To newness of life.
To newness of life.
With Christ.
With Christ.
I am seated.
With Him.
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places.
in Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, that's not going by what you see or feel. That's faith in what he said. And Jesus did not do any of that for himself. He had no sin of his own to pay for. He was paying for your sin and my sin. Did he get it done?
Yes.
Did he pay for it?
Yes.
Then it's paid for.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Verse 9, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion over him. What he has done is done forever. It will never need to be done again. And verse 10, in that he died and ascended once. In that he lives to God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin, or don't let sin reign in your mortal body. That means you can if you choose to.
Right.
But you don't have to.
That's right.
You don't have to. Obviously, any Christian can sin.
Right.
But here's the good news. You don't have to. Most people don't believe that. Most church-going people don't believe they can make it through a day without sinning. Jesus made it through a whole lifetime.
Yes, he did.
As a human being with no unfair advantage over us, proving it could be done. If he can go a lifetime, you can go a day or a week. Come on, are you with me or not? Yes, yes. And it'll help us tremendously if we just start agreeing with him that we are dead indeed to sin. In verse 13, don't yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourselves to God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Romans talks about this. Galatians talks about this. Ephesians talks about this, about the struggle between the flesh and the spirit, and it's up to us which one we yield to. Now, you make it easier on yourself if you keep your spirit built up real strong and you stay away from stuff that pulls on your flesh. You just make it easier on yourself. But if you don't go to church, you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, and you're weak spiritually, and you hang around fleshy stuff all the time, well, you're going to be sinning.
That's right.
That's right.
But that can change.
Yes.
It's a new year.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Good opportunity.
All right.
Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Go ahead, make that confession. Say, sin
shall not
have dominion
over me.
I'm not under the law,
but under grace.
Now, the thing I wanted to talk about today, I believe impressed of the Lord to talk about, is standing when others fall. Are y'all awake?
Right.
The Bible uses this phraseology in talking about sinning. It talks about falling. If somebody sinned, sometimes it'll just say they fell, or they stumbled and fell, is a spiritual graphic of sinning. And if you or I are able to stand where others fell, why will that be? And how will that be? It's not what some have thought. Some have thought, if I was smart enough, I'm wise enough, I wouldn't fall in sin. The wisest of the wise have fallen. Solomon. Right? Then come any smarter than him. And his ungodly wives led him off into idolatry, and he sinned so much that it cost him the kingdom. And sometimes people have thought, well, if I'm strong enough. Samson was strong.
Yep.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah.
And that didn't keep him from falling.
Right.
Yeah, but if I'm anointed. David was anointed.
Oh,
come on, are you with me?
Yeah.
David was anointed. That didn't keep him from falling. So what is going to prevent us from falling, sinning, falling into sin, where so many others have fallen? It'll be what we just got through reading, the grace of God. Can anybody believe that? Huh? What did he say? Sin shall not have dominion over you. For what? You're not under the law, but what?
Under grace.
Grace. But now here's the thing that some have not understood. Does everybody get grace?
No.
It's available to everybody. But does everybody receive it?
No.
No, they don't. And actually, the Bible says you can fall from grace. And you can fail of grace. What does that mean, and how could you do that? We have a part to play in this. But the only way that we will stand where others fall is not because we were anointed, not because we were called. Y'all awake? Y'all with me? Not because we were so smart. Smart, not because we were so strong. It will be by the grace of God. That's what it'll be. And so when that situation happens, that we were in a situation, we were tempted, thousands of other people just fell and messed up, but we didn't. We were able to stand. What will we say it was? Come on, help me out. It was the grace of God. And that's not trying to be humble. That's just being honest. That's being truthful. It was by His grace that we were able to stand. And so what we want to do is yield to the grace, receive the grace, live in the grace, and not forfeit.
Amen.
Not fail of the grace. Not forfeit grace. It's available to all of us, but you can forfeit. Now, look with me in 2 Peter. Is this okay today? 2 Peter, the first chapter. And we'll just start at the first verse. This is one of the most exciting things we've talked about in this series. And it goes hand in hand with what we just read in our text in Romans 6. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Said out loud, my faith,
is the faith of God.
It's a measure
of God's own faith.
And it is precious. Do you have some?
Yes.
Of this God kind of faith? Yeah, you do. Verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God. Now, it's easy to just read through these and act like he's just saying hi and this is just a greeting. This is inspired utterance. Can you get more grace? Grace what? Multiplied. Huh? We're talking about how we can stand when others fall. It'll be grace. And the Bible talks about grace and more grace. And here, multiplied grace and peace. How many would say, sign me up for multiplied? Is that right? Multiplied grace and peace. How's it coming? Through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. And this includes experiential knowledge.
That's right.
Not just head knowledge, but experiential knowledge. Verse 3. According as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through what? Through the knowledge of Him who's called us unto glory and virtue. Now, we're going to see this word virtue again in just a moment, and the word knowledge again. And the word virtue, I don't know, in the King James, sometimes it just kind of goes past. But another word that could be translated here is excellence. Excellence. Or also goodness and excellence. Verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now this is the same nature as the Master, Jesus, who went His whole life and didn't sin. Partakers of that nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust. And that's where James talks about, it's your own lust that pulls you into temptation and sin. So the ungodly, demon-infested, curse-filled world is pulling on your flesh to pull you into corruption. But you've been born again. And the greater one's on the inside of you. And you have now, when you were born again, you are born of God. Hallelujah. And that which is born of God is an overcomer. I said, you're an overcomer. Why? You got the divine nature in you. Ooh, I told you it was good. Said out loud, I've got the divine nature. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. Hallelujah. And that is the means by which we escape the corruption that's in this world that lust will pull you to. And keep reading. Look at the next verse. He goes into detail about this divine nature. He said, beside this, giving all diligence. Now, this word, this phrase, you cannot do sitting on the couch watching TV, drinking iced tea. This is you giving all diligence means you apply yourself day after day on what He's about to say. Add to your faith. Somebody say, add to your faith.
Add to your faith.
Add to your faith. Now, you know, we're Faith Life Church, Faith Ministries, Faith Life International. Hallelujah. But faith's not the only thing in the Bible. It's a big one. But it's not the only thing. And here, what's He saying? Add something to your faith. What? And He mentions seven things. Virtue. And that's that word, like we said, excellence. Goodness and excellence. And to excellence and goodness, add what? Knowledge. Are there things you need to learn? And you need to know. See, He had mentioned knowledge, what, a couple of times already leading up to this. Knowledge of God. Verse 6. And to knowledge, temperance. That's self-control. Anybody found out you have to control yourself?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. If you don't control yourself, you will stay in bed, not even get up and come to church.
Uh-huh.
If you don't control yourself, you will eat the whole pie.
Uh-huh.
By yourself.
Only on the weekend.
If you don't control yourself, huh?
Yes.
Come on, say it out loud. Well, actually, help your neighbor. Help them out. Look over and say, you got to control yourself. Temperance. Temperance is self-control. And to self-control, you add patience. Now, that's the word for perseverance, or the word for endurance. How many know that a lot of things, you can't just hit it hard for a day or two? You got to stay with it, right? Endurance. And to endurance, godliness. Well, that's the opposite of worldliness. The world is unlike God. Keep going. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, which is the opposite of meanness. Huh? And it's the opposite of being hard. Huh? Ephesians says this. It said, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Come on, say, somebody say, be kind.
Be kind.
Now, let's just stop right here. What are we talking about? We're talking about how to stand when others fall. Has being kind got anything to do with that? Yes, it does. There are things that must be added to our faith for us to stand when others fall. And kindness is one of them. Will you always feel like being kind?
No.
Let me help you with that. No. No, you won't. There are times you will feel like slapping somebody. Huh? Don't do that. I said, don't do that. There'll be times you'll feel like, you know, telling somebody off, giving them a piece of your mind, like you had so much extra to share. You better keep what little minds you got. And the thing is, you there are times you'll have to catch yourself in mid-word. Because we all got flesh. And you can get mad, you can get upset, you can be hurt, any of these things, and you can go, well, let me tell you one thing. Kindness. Brother Key said something about kindness. And in mid-sentence you can go, God loves you, and I love you, and I'm going to pray for you over there. You can be kind when you don't feel like being kind. You can. It's a choice. And what's the next one? Charity, which is King James, it's the word love, is agape, the God kind of love. Love that God has himself. Now, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but I need to finish reading this first. Keep going. If these things be in you and abound, what things? Come on, help me out. Virtue, which is what? Excellence and goodness. And what else? Huh? Knowledge. Knowledge of God. And what else? I'm hearing different things, different people. thank you. And temperance, patience, godliness, what else? Brotherly kindness and love. If these seven things he mentioned, if these things are in you, now keep going to the next verse, and abound. Now let's just stop. Will these things just automatically appear developed in you? What did he say? With all diligence. That means you've got to go after it. You got to seek it. This is not something that's going to fall on you. But if these things are in you, and they abound, they will make you something. They will make you that you shall not be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if you're not barren, you're bearing fruit. Spiritual fruit. The fruit of the Spirit. Verse 9. He that lacks these things is blind. And you see, he's talking about saved people. And cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So this is somebody that was purged from sin. But they're not interested in being kind. They're not interested in walking in love. They don't want to control themselves. Can you see this? Well, then they're not going to experience this next part. Look at verse 10. The rather, brethren, give diligence. He brings that up again. Diligence means pursue it. Go after it. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Oh, glory to God. What? Never fall. Never fall. No, we're talking about going forward. But somebody said, well, yeah, but people are falling. Yeah, because they're not doing this. Is the Bible true or is the Bible true? If you do these things, you won't be falling into sin. Day after day after day, just keep falling, just keep falling. Is this wonderful? Is this good? Now you'll notice that several of these things have to do with love. Several of them. Because, or just take godliness for instance. That's being like God. God is. Right? You see what I'm saying? Of course, brotherly kindness. And the last one is love. And you keep seeing a recurrence. Notice in Jude 20, don't go there. But Jude 20, just one chapter there. He said, you beloved, building up yourselves only in most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. The New Testament commandment is what? Love each other. Now that's talking about your fellow believer. Love each other as Jesus said, I have loved you. One of the big reasons why believers keep falling and keep falling and keep falling when they could stand is judging others. Are y'all awake? Because if you judge, what's going to happen? You will be judged. And what does that mean? It means you won't have grace. You won't have grace to stand. Because you didn't show grace. And you didn't show mercy. Can you see that included in those seven things that he talked about? Somebody say, keep yourselves in the love of God. And he's able to keep me from falling. That's in these same three verses right here in Jude. Keep you from falling. And he said, if these things are in you, you shall never fall. I believe the Bible. Do you? So, let's go over these a little bit. I mean, this is a whole series right here, you know. But let's go over these a little bit. Seven things. Put it back on the screen for us, if you would, that 2 Peter, first chapter. The first one was virtue. And that has to do with goodness and excellence. If virtue or goodness and excellence is going to help you not to fall and help you not to sin, then the absence of it is going to help get you in sin.
Right.
So what's the opposite of excellence? Whatever. Huh? Y'all with me or not? Now we're laughing about it, but we're talking about sinning or not sinning. So how many people keep yielding to sin, and especially after a while, if somebody brings it up to them, they're like, whatever. Can you see this? They have succumbed to not expecting anything of themselves. And see, that's why no-fault religion is so popular. What do you mean? People preach. Everything that's happening is God in control. And nothing is my fault. And that, you know, you couldn't make it through a day without sinning if you tried. Because you're just an old sinner. Saved by grace. And that leads you to the mentality of whatever. Huh? Ain't going to make it anyway. Good enough. Huh? Maybe I'll make it to heaven. I think so. Hope so. Good enough. That's not excellence. Somebody say excellence.
Excellent.
Should we expect more of ourselves? God does.
Yes, he does.
I said, he does. He knows what we're capable of. He knows what kind of standard we can rise to and hold and live to. Somebody say excellence.
Excellence.
The excellence of God. Say, Lord, open my eyes. Show me how to live with excellence. Your excellence. You know, Phyllis mentioned this multiple times in the beginning of the service. Forgetting those things that are behind. What's the rest of that passage? Pressing what? Toward the mark. For the prize. The high calling. That's not whatever. That's not what a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is that? That's being like the Master. That's acting like Him, talking like Him, believing like Him, praying like Him, pleasing the Father like Him. You are capable of it with His help. Don't believe lies. Don't just give up. Is that something we should add to our faith? Yes, it is. What's the other one? Knowledge. Knowledge. What's the opposite of knowledge?
Ignorance.
Right? And being ignorant of who God is, what He has said is good or bad, what He has said is right or wrong, could being ignorant of that help contribute to you being in sin? Well, yeah, you're in limbo about, well, I don't even know if this is wrong or right. Well, find out some stuff. Get in the book. Is that right? Go to Him. Ask Him to show you. Crave and seek the knowledge of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We can know. And this is something we need to be doing all the time, is learning and growing, knowing Him, what He is, what His will is. Somebody say knowledge.
Knowledge.
What's the next one?
Temperance.
Temperance or self-control. What's the opposite of this? Uncontrolled. Huh? No control. Out of control. Does that contribute to being in sin?
Yes.
Of course it does. There's a little two-letter word. You need to learn about your flesh. What does that mean? Your flesh did not get born again. It was the man on the inside. Your flesh is the same as it was before you got saved. And it will do anything you let it do. And the thing is, the more you yield to it, the more it wants to do. And the further it'll go. And if you don't put your foot down and say no, it can destroy your life. I said it can destroy your life. And you know, if you won't control yourself, you say, you know, say you're married. And, you know, you have an affair. And you keep having affairs. Your spouse doesn't have to put up with that. Are y'all awake or not? Well, they have to forgive me. Actually, they don't. They should. Well, then they have to take me back. No, they don't have to take you back. Everybody should pray and seek God, because He knows what to do and He knows whether they will change or not. But what I'm saying is, if you don't control yourself, it's going to affect other people around you too. And they don't have to. Or if you know, you won't quit drinking. And you won't quit smoking dope, and you won't quit taking pills, and you won't keep, you know, you won't control yourself. Well, that kind of thing trends bad. It trends worse. It gets worse and worse and worse. And there's only so many times, you know, that people want to put up with that.
That's good.
Somebody say, I've got to control myself. And can you?
Yes.
The greater one is on the inside. Is that right? Somebody say, the greater one's inside me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. When it comes to money, you got to control yourself. Huh? I mean, I don't know what the couples we have seen and dealt with where people were spending money and hiding it from their spouse. Lying, deceiving, covering. Well, they just couldn't control themselves. Well, then you better turn off the shopping channel. Or you better drive around the mall. Are y'all with me? You got to do something to help control yourself. You're foolish to think that everybody has to put up with that indefinitely. Because what you're doing is, when you override your heart and you're doing things you know you shouldn't do, and you're putting people in a bad place, and you're taking things away from them, you are sinning.
That's right.
I said you are sinning.
That's right.
Because of a lack of self-control.
Amen.
And if you cared enough about them, you wouldn't be doing this to them.
That's right.
And if you say, well, I can't help it, that's a lie. You believe a lie. Are you a child of God, or are you a child of God?
Right. Yes.
Have you been delivered?
Yes.
I want to hear you say it again. The greater one, lives inside me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Losing your temper. Breaking stuff. Hitting. People don't have to put up with that. Y'all with me?
Yes.
That's not controlling yourself. You can get mad and not hit people. Yeah, you can. You can get mad and not cuss. Say that loud. I must control myself.
I must control myself.
Now, the reason people are in such a bad way is because for years they have not controlled themselves. They just have yielded to it, and it's gotten worse and worse and worse and worse. But by the grace of God, if you will, you can. It can save your life.
Yes.
It can save your marriage. It can save your relationship with your children, your friends. It can save your job. Come on, are y'all with me?
Yes.
It can save so many things. And remember, if I got these things, and I'm doing these things, I'm developing these things, what did he say? You won't fall. You won't fall. You'll go day after day, week after week, month after month. You'll stand where others fail. And it'll be by the grace of God. What was the next one?
Patience.
You got time for us to finish this?
Yes.
Patience, that's the word for perseverance or endurance. Through faith and
patience,
we inherit the promises. So see, he has said, you got to add something to your faith.
Yes.
It's not enough to believe God. You got to believe God until. As long as it takes. Right? What's the opposite of perseverance? Giving up quick. Quitting right away. Well, will that lead to sin?
Yes.
The sin of unbelief. Huh? The sin of not being faithful. The sin of not obeying. No, when God says something and He tells you something, it didn't all come to pass by the end of the week always. Right? Some things you got to stick with for years.
Amen.
Y'all with me or not?
Yes.
You've got to persevere. You've got to endure. Phyllis was talking about, you know, we were already looking at our vision list. And that closet was something, a mark off on her vision list. But some of the things we looked over, and we've got at least 50 major mark-offs over the last 10, 15 years. But some of these, it was 10 years before they came to pass. But they came to pass. Huh? That car that I showed a while back that Phyllis got me, that was a replacement for a car 30 years ago. Someone say 30 years. So that's too long. Hey, time's passing anyway. You might as well be believing for something. Is that right? And it's not like I didn't have anything to enjoy between then and now, but that was something special that the Lord did for us.
Amen.
Somebody say endurance.
Endurance.
You got to stay with it.
Yes.
Come on, say it out loud. I'm not a quitter.
I'm not a quitter.
Now see, being a quitter, would that contribute to you falling in sin?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to hear you say it. I'm not a quitter.
I'm not a quitter.
Having done all to stand, what do you do? Come on, help me. Having done all, stand. Stand therefore. Having your loins girt. Right? If it was always just easy, everybody'd be doing it. If it all happened by the end of the week, a lot more people would be on it. Huh? Some things. I know, this would have been back in the 90s. I had been believing for a particular thing for years. And it looked like it was further from it than when we started. And Phyllis and I went to a restaurant. And I said, well, I'm going to go wash my hands. And as I was walking towards the restroom, the Spirit of God quickened to me because these thoughts were going on. And the enemy was saying, you're further from this than you've ever been. I mean, this is never going to happen. You are just dreaming, you know. This is not going to happen. And as I'm walking, the Spirit of God from the inside of me, He said, hold on. Keep believing. Be strong. That's where I got the song. Because in a little while, it'll be all right. Hold on. Hold on. It won't be long. Your faith. We'll turn to sight. So I start singing this song to myself in the men's restroom. Hold on. Hold on. Keep believing. Be strong. Well, is that what we're talking about? Is that patience? Is that perseverance? Is that endurance? And it wasn't, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. It came to pass. Hallelujah. Big mark off. But now, I want you to see something. When the enemy was bugging me for days, and it's not working, it's not working, it's not, well, if it's not working, why is he bothering me? He's a liar.
Yes.
When he's pushing you like that, you can know I'm right on the verge of this thing breaking through. He's trying to get me to quit because we are so close.
Yes.
I want to hear you said, I'm not a quitter.
I'm not a quitter.
Number five, godliness. Godliness. The Bible said, be imitators of God as dear children. We want to learn who He is, what He is. We want to think like Him, talk like Him, act like Him. This world we live, what's the opposite of godliness? Ungodliness. Another word for that is worldliness. And you know, 1 John said, don't love the world. Don't love the things that are in the world. You got to watch about too much interaction with ungodliness. We live in the information age, and we've got screens and video and audio everywhere around us, and so much of it is ungodly.
Amen.
Huh? Is it okay for us to feed on ungodliness hours a day? Will that help us stand when others fail? It'll help contribute to falling. And so, you know, people can mock you if they want to. Well, they think they can't go over here. They think they can't watch this, or they think they can't do this. Well, you can't participate in everything and stand and be strong, because it will influence you. It's darkness. And every movie, every show, every song, every play, every book was inspired by something, right? The authors, the creators, where did they get their inspiration? If it didn't come from God, and you'll find that so much of what's around, God is totally out of it, or nowadays, they're blaspheming God, mocking God. Oh, friend, you and I don't want to be a part of that. Huh? That's not godliness, that's ungodliness. What's the next one? Brotherly kindness. We already talked about this one, right? If you feel like slapping somebody. Huh? What's the opposite of brotherly kindness? Huh? Hardness. Hard-hearted. Harsh. And again, Jesus said, don't judge, or you'll be judged. And when somebody around us falls, first thing you want to do is be honest. I have fallen before. Right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Don't act like you've never missed it. Yeah, but I've never done that. Hey, sin is sin. I mean, you violated knowledge. You didn't listen. You disobeyed. You didn't trust. Don't just try to categorize it. Beside that, you're not their judge. But if you're smart, you will sow mercy for yourself for your future. Huh? And it's got nothing to do with how you feel about it. You could be upset about it. You could be angry about it. You could be hurt about it. But what do you want to do? Come on, help me out. Be kind. Be kind. Show kindness and mercy. Is that right?
Yes.
Kind. And you can. You can get a hold of yourself. Like I talked about earlier, you can be ready to chew somebody out, and you can be ready to let somebody have it. And you need to be honest. Don't be a hypocrite. Be honest and realize, I have missed it many times. Right? And God's had mercy on me. So I'm going to sow mercy. I'm not saying it's okay what they did, but I'm not going to judge. And I'm not going to be hard. I'm not going to be harsh. You can be kind even when you're not yielding to a thing. Even when you're not doing what somebody's asking you to do, you can still be kind. Kindness. goes a long ways. Let me give you one example of kindness. Asking instead of telling goes a long way. The Bible said the sweetness of the lips increases learning. A lot of times, if you lead with the wrong tone, they stopped listening on the second word. Because they just don't like your attitude. But kindness, I think I told you, this has been a year or two ago, I was stopping in the plane for fuel at a place. And this was the one we had before, the current one. We had just got it painted. Looked real good. And I came in, there was a guy sitting at the a table there at the FBO, they call it. And he said, "Whose plane is that?" I said, "That's ours." He said, "What do you do?" I said, "Well, we have churches and ministry." He put his fork down. He said, "That's why I don't go to church." Now, that's a lie.
Right, that is.
Right?
Right? Thank you. It is. Right.
He never met
that's
me
right.
until right now. And he ain't been going to church, I found out later, for years. Huh? Well, the way he said it and did it, it's kind of like somebody just slapped you with a wet dish rag. You know, like, you know, like that's too good for you. You shouldn't have anything like that. And, but, you know, I'm that's not the first time I've heard something like that. But he said, "That's why I don't go to church." And instead of, you know, making some smart aleck remark back or trying to straighten him out or put him in his place, I just didn't say anything for a moment, check my heart. And the Holy Spirit prompted me about kindness. And I said, "Well," I said, "there are a number of churches that feel just like you do about that. So if you wanted to go to church, you could find one that doesn't like airplanes. You know, there's quite a few of them around." He looked at me. I said, "Because you need to go to church." I said, "You are to visit places. And they may not be your cup of tea. And we may not be your cup of tea." I said, "But you get the right place, you'll find it." And he looked at me and his expression softened. And he said, "You know, my kids need to go to church."
Amen.
How about this? So instead of a fight and a cuss out, come on, do you see how quick it changed though?
Yes.
Instead of me responding abrasively, mm-hmm. harshly, which really would show my insecurities.
Right.
And that I care more about how I feel than his spiritual condition.
Right.
And that's not true. I care more about his spiritual condition.
Amen.
And I mean, just like that, it was astonishing to me. He went from being so hard and you know, antagonistic. He just defenses just fell. Mm-hmm. And he said, "Yeah, my kids need to go to church." I said, "They do." I said, "These early years are important." And I mean, I talked to him for like 10 minutes. I said, "Brother," I said, "you know, everybody don't like the kind of things that we like. I understand that. But you and your wife, your family, visit some places, and when you find the right place, you'll have a witness, and you'll know it. But you need to." And he said, "Well, I'm going to do that."
Glory to God. Thank you.
This is a good outcome of something that started not good. But what was an element of this? See, if I had not, now what's the opposite of kindness?
Harshness.
If I had been harsh with him, then he'd just been more ingrained. He doesn't like preachers with airplanes.
Right.
He'd just be more convinced of that. But, and I would have missed it.
Right.
We're talking about sin.
Right.
To him that knows to do good
and
does it not, to him it is sin. I would have missed an opportunity to help somebody that the Holy Spirit could work on.
Amen.
Somebody say kindness.
Kindness.
Can you see how kindness, brotherly kindness, could help keep you from falling?
Yes.
What's the last one?
Love.
The love of God. And like we quoted from Ephesians, he said, don't be hard-hearted, but he said, be tender-hearted. Forgiving, somebody say forgiving.
Forgiving.
Forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. For Christ's sake, you forgive one another. If you want to stand when others have fallen, you must forgive. It is not optional. The Master even said, if you won't forgive others, the Father won't forgive you. Now that's a scary thought. Huh? It's not optional. You must forgive. And the Bible uses the word sin and debt interchangeably. You remember the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And what that means is forgive us what we owe as we forgive those that owe us. Is everybody awake now? I'm summing this up, but if you harbor the feeling that someone owes you something, you are not forgiving. Did you hear me? And you're in trouble. You're exposed to falling and not being forgiven yourself and not having grace when you need to stand. If we had time, we'd go into it in Matthew 18, where he tells about the servant that owed billions, and his Lord forgave him, released him and forgave him, and then he went out and found somebody that owed him hundreds and choked him and sent him to prison. After all that God has forgiven us, we can forgive others. We should forgive. We must forgive others. Or we are being hypocrites and sinners. You treat it like a debt. If somebody owed you money and you had the document, the loan document. Okay, they're in debt. They owe it to you. But you can release them. Huh? If it's yours, if it's a debt they owe you. You can release it. And you can say, look, forget about that. Here's the paperwork. And you tear it up. And you say, you owe me nothing. Well, even if next week something comes up and you think, man, I could have used that money. Tough. You forgave it. You released it. And forgiveness of others is not based on your feelings. It's a decision. It's a choice. This is one of the biggest things, child of God. If you're going to not fall, if you're going to stand where other people have fallen, you must forgive. Must. If you hold on to it, if you say, well, they owe me making it right. They owe me an explanation. They owe me. It's their fault. You're in trouble. You're stuck in a place where you won't receive grace, where you forfeit grace, and you fall when you could have stood. We're going to receive communion today. And this is the perfect time. Is that right?
Yes.
To put faith in how He has forgiven us. And in the midst of this, I'm going to lead you. We're going to speak forgiveness and release of anybody that owes us anything. Is this okay? Hallelujah. Well, come ahead, guys. Y'all can go ahead and start singing. And ushers, go come and watch until you're served. And we're going to receive communion.